Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going.
Hello, everyone. God bless you. Hallelujah. This is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. I hope you're all well today, and we want to give glory to God today. We want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ for his precious gift of eternal life and salvation. We are forgiven people. We are forgiven of our sins. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. This is Susan Puzio, and I am the hostess of the Prophetic News Radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. Also, I have a radio broadcast on the Prophecy Zone Network, and that is on Monday evenings at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So tune in every Monday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Prophecy Zone Radio. Also, every Saturday at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, we're on Blog Talk Radio with the Prophetic News broadcast. Also, we have a website, propheticnews.com, and we are on YouTube. Yes, we have a YouTube ministry, and God is really blessing that ministry. The YouTube channel is Jonah, T for Tom, 48, and you can go there. We have some very informative videos, and you can get a lot of help. We know where our help comes from, amen. Our help comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. So today we have a special guest. We will be interviewing Kevin Oliver, and Kevin has a YouTube channel called Not Your Typical Negro, and that is a great channel. He has some very, very informative videos there, and it is a great blessing to have this kind of information out on the internet, because some of us would not be allowed on so-called Christian television networks. They wouldn't want us to say what we're saying, which is we're only saying the truth, because many of these people have sold out the gospel for mammon, for filthy lucre. So God has provided this alternative, which I think is so great, Blog Talk Radio and YouTube. Anybody can have a television ministry on YouTube, and it's absolutely free, so you don't need $1 million to preach the gospel. All you need is a computer and the Bible, and you're off. Hallelujah. So stay tuned today for this wonderful program. And I also want to mention this week about the vaccines. I do have a YouTube video, and it's called Vaccines from Abortion. So if you would like to take advantage of that information, you can also go to my website, propheticnews.com, and you will see some links that will direct you to the ingredients that most childhood vaccines have, aborted baby cell lines, and I believe that that is one of the biggest causes of autism and brain damage in children today. It's not something that is talked about widely, and it's something that needs to be talked about, so everyone that I tell can tell someone, and they can tell someone, and we can get the news out there. There are many wonderful websites on the internet where you can get this information, and you can see that most childhood vaccines, even some adult vaccines like the rabies vaccine, the chickenpox, even some of the flu vaccines do contain aborted babies. They also contain mercury, aluminum, formaldehyde, and none of these things are very good for your health or good for your brain, but especially damaging to children. So be careful what you give to your child, what you let somebody else give to your child. You should know what's in a hypodermic needle before it's aimed at you, your arm, whatever. So I want to mention that we have a scripture here for you today. And the scripture is 1 Corinthians 5. And I'm going to start reading at verse 6. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? So it's important that the Bible is taught line upon line and precept upon precept, because it just takes a little leaven and it will leaven the whole lump. Verse 7 says, purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I write unto you in an epistle, not to company with fornicators, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or extortioners. Notice that word, extortioners. We see quite a bit of extortion going on in the body of Christ today with what they call telethons, or praise-a-thons, or conathons. That's what I like to call them. But it's nothing but extortion. They are extorting you with promises of miracles and blessings from a God. I don't know what God they're talking about, because they're certainly not talking about the God I know or the blessed Lord Jesus Christ, because you can't buy anything from God. There's no amount of money that you can give God to get him to do something for you, because he just does things for you because you ask him. It's that easy. You don't have to give your hard-earned money unless you want to, because you want to help somebody else. But, verse 10 of 1 Corinthians 5, pay attention to that. Extortioners or idolaters, and then must ye needs go out of the world. But now I have written unto you not to company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one know not to eat. For what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within? But them that are without God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person. Well, we have so many people saying, well, you can't judge, you can't make a judgment about anything. You just have to love people and just fall for anything. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says right here that you're to put away from among yourselves that wicked person. They're not talking about unbelievers. They're talking about believers here, because it says, I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother be a fornicator or a covetous or an idolater or a railer or a drunkard or an extortioner. So we are to separate ourselves from these false teachers, these false doctrines, and try to present to the world a gospel of truth. And we don't pervert the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ for our own gain. We preach the gospel because we love people. And we want people to be blessed. So we need to have a change. I would like to see a change. I would love to see a change in the way things have been presented to the world, because I think it's just an awful representation of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, of Christianity, of real Christianity, really what we're seeing nowadays. We're seeing so much apostasy. I never thought that I would see the things that I'm seeing or hear the things that I'm hearing, and that people are calling it Christianity, because it's nothing like what Christianity is supposed to be. We know that Jesus Christ paid the price, and he paid a tremendous price because he came down from heaven, and he didn't have to do it. He didn't have to leave heaven. He was living there and enjoying all the benefits of heaven, and he came to earth and he put on human flesh, he died on a cross, which he did not have to do. So what can I say? It's time for a change. I just have an email here from Kevin Oliver, and he won't be able to be on today, so we will have to reschedule that program. I'm sorry. But we'll have Kevin on again. We're going to talk today with Kevin about how he got out of debt without tithing, seed sowing, or sacrificial giving. We were going to talk about Andrew Womack. And if you go on YouTube, on Kevin Oliver's YouTube channel, which is Not Your Typical Negro, NYTN, you can see this video that he made about Andrew Womack, why he is the most dangerous man on Christian TV. So you can go there and acquaint yourself. Also, he does have a video about how he got out of debt without tithing, seed sowing, and sacrificial giving. So I think that would be a very good thing to see before we do our interview. I will try to reschedule Kevin for Monday evening on the Prophecy Zone channel. And then we can go over this. We'll have about an hour to talk about it. So in the meantime, I want to let you know that the chat room is open if you have any questions. I'm going to give you the call-in number. If you'd like to call in with some questions, that would be great. The call-in number is 914-338-1638, and I could take some questions. We can talk about what's going on in Israel, or we could talk about what's going on in the world. We can talk about what's going on in the church, which, you know, there's some wild things going on. I heard that the latest happening with the Eddie Long scandal, that he is not stepping down. He is continuing to pastor his church there in Lithonia, Georgia. And a friend of mine called me the other day, and he was telling me that they have been doing marches, and they have been calling for Eddie Long to resign until this, until this scandal is settled, until the truth comes out, which he should. I think that if you're accused of molestation, that you should step down until the issue is solved or the truth comes out. Because, you know, if it is true, I tend to believe it is true, but say it is true, and then we have this man pastoring, I put that in quotes, pastoring a church and being around young men, being around children, I don't think that anybody that has been accused of molesting children or teenagers, which, you know, teenagers are still considered children in the way I look at it, but I think that they should step down and wait until the truth comes out, because nobody wants a child molester to be pastoring a church. So I'm not saying he did it or he didn't do it, because I'd like to see all the evidence. My own personal opinion, I think there's some truth to the allegations. I don't think that four young men in their 20s now would come forth with this type of accusation against a very wealthy, powerful pastor if there wasn't some truth to it. So I think we need to be praying for these young men and hoping that they get their day in court. I see someone in the chat room, and he's saying that he was told that Eddie Long's wife is divorcing him. I don't know. I don't know if that's true or not. I have not heard whether she is or not, but if she is, well, that's not going to be very good for Eddie with all the rest of the things that are going on. But you know, there's something going on. I mean, Eddie Long, he's a false teacher. There's so many crazy things that he has said, and he seems to, I don't think he is anymore, but I know that he was a regular on TBN. He did a lot of their telethons, and he's one of these that he tells people to give money and, you know, God blesses you. He's a master manipulator. So, anyway, the way I look at it, there's always like when there's a false teacher and somebody's gets off into error, well, it's not too long after that that you start seeing because they think they're so powerful that they start getting into some kind of sexual sin. You see it so much with the cults. Many of the cult leaders that we have seen like the cult leader of the Children of God, some of the Mormon cult leaders where they take 10 wives, 20 wives, or 30 wives. Anybody that gets off into these kind of the cultish mentality, and especially when they take the Bible and they start twisting scripture and they take scripture out of context and they get a following, even if it's a small following. But we see it quite often where they start getting off into sexual sin and with men or women or children, and it's just a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing. So my advice really to any of you that are out there, if you are in a church where they're preaching error, I would get out of there. I would run for my life because it's a dangerous place. It's a dangerous place. I was watching a video the other day of Eddie Long preaching at his church. And, I mean, the place was packed. I don't know when he preached this sermon, but the place is packed, and he's up there in a robe, like a, looks like a kind of a Catholic priest robe, and then he's dancing, and he starts getting the whole congregation dancing the same way he's dancing, and then they're coming up front. People are running up to the front with envelopes. I guess there was money in the envelopes, and they're throwing it on the altar. Like, well, what's that supposed to do? like, what is that supposed to do? It was nothing but it looked like mass hypnosis. It really did, because all the people were dancing the same way, and they were all running up there with their money. Like, I don't know. I think they were trying to impress God. They were making their declarations, and I don't know. You know, I mean, God is a loving Father. I know He's a loving Father. He sent His Son to die for us, so He really does care about us. But sometimes I think He must look down and say, wow, they do look foolish. My children do look foolish, and it's foolishness. You just watch it. Just sit there sometimes and just try to have a sane mind when you're watching it, and watch some of these Christian TV stations and watch the same thing. TBN is doing it now because they're having their praise-a-thon. Really, the only people that are really happy about that is the Crouch family, because they're getting so rich that they just laugh all the way to the bank. And then you see that they bring in people like Steve Munsey, Mike Murdoch, Jensen Franklin. He should be ashamed of himself. So they get people all excited with the music, and then everybody starts jumping up and down. And then they start running up to the front with their money and throwing it on the stage or on the altar. And, they really look like a bunch of fools. I mean, I have to think that anybody, an unbelieving person, if there's an unbelieving person out there and they're watching that and they're saying to themselves, oh, like, these people look like they're crazy. Even an unsaved person could look at it and say, this is really wild. So I look at it now and I think, well, you know, I've done those things in the past because I was in the so-called Word of Faith. And I used to do that, take my money up front, hold it up in the air and wave it before the Lord. It's like, I don't know, God doesn't really care about $5 bills or $100 bills or checks because he doesn't need that currency. His currency is faith. The Bible says whatever is not of faith is sin, and without faith it is impossible to please God. So I know that we approach God in faith. We let our petitions be made known to an almighty God. And also, the Bible does say that when you give your alms, you're supposed to give it in secret, so you don't have to go to church and stand up in front of everybody and walk to the front with your $1,000 or your $5,000 or your $10,000 or whatever it is, and let everybody know what you're doing, making a fool out of yourself. It's time for that. It's time for that kind of stuff to stop. It's like people should be making a mass exodus out of these buildings and saying, "Ugh, get me out of here." It's like an insane asylum. I mean, if you look at it, then you see these people going crazy because they think that if they bring money up there, especially during these praise-a-thons, telethons, and whatever, that God Almighty himself has to look down upon you and bless you. Well, he doesn't. I mean, you know, he doesn't have to do anything except what he knows is good for you. So, you know, that kind of stuff doesn't work. It really doesn't work. Anyway, yes, I see I'm back in the chat room. And I see your comment where you say, "My ex-pastor used to get the seniors at the church to put him on their life insurance policy." Oh, boy. "And he paid their premiums. And when they died, he cashed in." Oh, wow. Well, I haven't heard of that one before. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good one. Yeah, well, I could see that. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says about robbing widows' houses. Well, that's what that is. You see, a vulnerable person, especially a senior citizen, and instead of them putting one of their family members as the beneficiary of their life insurance, they give it to some crazy pastor. Well, I don't think so. The Bible says that we are supposed to take care of our families first. If you don't take care of your family, you're worse than an infidel. You're also supposed to leave an inheritance to your children and your children's children. So I wouldn't be leaving all my money to some ministry, that's for sure. No, I wouldn't be doing it. But this comment, it reminds me of a friend of mine. Well, she was in her late 60s when her husband died. And she got involved with a group, a messianic group. Well, I'm not against, you know, messianic Christians, no. But just this group was a cult. Oh, dear. And so it wasn't 10 days or 2 weeks after her husband died that they swooped in on her, and I called her one day to see how she was doing, and you know, thank God she confessed to me. She said, "Well, I just I put the synagogue," she called it, "I put their name on my deed. And I also put their names on my bank account." I was like, "Well, what did you do that for? Because if they want to, now that you put their names on your bank account and on your deed, if they want to, they can just clean you out." So I said, "Oh, dear." She thought she was doing something great for the Lord. Well, I really started praying for her because I knew that these people were just taking advantage of her. I just thought it was terrible that it was just 10 days after her husband died or whatever, and they get her to change her deed and her bank account and everything for their benefit. Oh, I was like, oh. Anyway, I was praying for her, and thank God it wasn't too much longer after that that they revealed their true wolf nature. And she went to the bank and took them off her bank account, and she took them off the deed to her house. And thank you, Jesus, you know, that she did that, because they could have cleaned her out. And then she would have been, in her old age, she would have been left with nothing. And do you think they would have cared about her? No. No, they wouldn't have cared about her. Let me tell you something. If a pastor or a ministry really cares about you, they are not going to tell you to give all your money to them. You notice that a lot of ministries now have financial advisors where they will advise you how to leave your money in a trust to them. And I would be very careful about that, because I would like to ask them, like Pat Robertson or Marcus and Joni Lamb. I know I've seen them on the Daystar Network. I've seen them where they've set up these financial advisors where you can leave all your money to Daystar when you die. You can put it in a trust. And, well, are they leaving all their money to Daystar when they die, or are they giving it to their children? I don't think they're leaving all their money to Daystar, no. But they want you to leave your money to them instead of leaving it to your children or to a family member. You know, there's nothing wrong with leaving something to a ministry, but I would really run from a person, a pastor, a ministry that would tell you to donate all your money and try to manipulate you to donate all your money without taking care of your family. I think that's wicked, and I think it's evil, and I don't think that we should try to manipulate people to give us money to do ministry when there's so many things you can do in the ministry that you don't have to charge for. I'm not opposed to people having books or, you know, selling books. I don't think there's anything wrong with it. I think that if you work as an author, it is a job, and that you deserve to be paid. I'm not opposed to selling tapes or, you know, Christian items. I don't think it's wrong, but I think if you manipulate and you take advantage of people, then it's wrong. But I think that when we preach the gospel, it should be free, that if you're going somewhere to preach, that you shouldn't set a fee and demand luxury hotel suites and first-class airline tickets and that kind of thing. I think you should preach the gospel freely and from your heart, and God will bless that. But to only demand a certain amount of money to speak and to expect people to treat you like a movie star or a rock star, I mean, that's ridiculous, because I think it says in Philippians, I think it's the first chapter, where Jesus, he made of himself no reputation. And so that really should be our motive when we preach the gospel, is we're not doing it for fame and fortune, but because we know that we have been redeemed and there was a precious price that was paid for our salvation. Yes, it's Philippians, and it's chapter 2, verse 5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Well, you see, Jesus was equal with God, but I think the NIV says something else, like he wasn't equal with God. But this is the King James Version, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Hallelujah. So we see that the Lord Jesus Christ, he made of himself no reputation. He took upon him the form of a servant. And that should be our mindset, is that we want to minister to people. We do things because we care about people. Most of all, we care about their eternal salvation. Amen. And ultimately, everything that we do on this earth should be because we want to take as many people as we possibly can with us to heaven. Heaven is a real city. It's a real planet where people live, and we get to see God the Father, the creator of the universe. We get to see the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is life after death. Yes, there is. We don't have to come back here and keep coming back as a bug or whatever, you know, people that believe in reincarnation. There is no such thing as reincarnation. There's only, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment. And so when you die, you will either go to heaven or you will go to hell. And really, nobody wants to go there, but there is a heaven and there is a hell. There are some people that would like you to believe that there is no hell, but yes, there really is. I'm back in the chat room, and the brother here is saying that when we left the church, and he's talking about the church where the pastor had people sign over their life insurance to him. When we left the church, we started getting phone calls and knocks at the door in the middle of the night. Wow. Wow. Well, yeah, that's a cult. Because someone was telling me the other day that when they were witnessing to Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses, that if they would, some of these people would actually get saved and give their heart to Jesus, that after they tried to leave these cults, that they would do the same thing. They would come to their house, they would call them, they would threaten them. Well, you're free to do whatever you want, as far as if you want to leave a church or you want to leave a ministry. you're perfectly free to do that. You don't belong to any human being where they control your life. And if you want to leave, you leave. And that's it. But when they start calling you and coming to your house and trying to get you to go back and all that, you know, that's weird. That's very weird. We had that a few years ago, back in the 80s, I remember, when there was a big movement for shepherding. And you would go to these churches and you wouldn't really know it until you were there for a while. And they wanted to control everything you did. You had to ask the pastor's permission before you could do anything. Say, for instance, if I wanted to do this radio program today, and I was in a church where the pastor was trying to control my life, I would have to ask his permission before I could do it. And then maybe they wouldn't like what I was saying, so then I would have to go back in, and they could rebuke me and tell me they didn't like what I was preaching. No, I'm not going to have any of that, because I think when Jesus Christ sets us free, well, we should do everything we can to stay free. And I think that, well, it should be both ways, right? Well, sometimes the pastor doesn't know everything. I don't know everything either. So if there's something I don't know and somebody tells me and tries to make a correction, well, I should be mature enough to be able to receive that. So many pastors, if you try to point something out to them that they're teaching that isn't right, well, they get angry, and then they call you a troublemaker. Then they try to badmouth you and make you look like you're the bad person. I've seen that happen. I was in a church back in the 90s when the pastor was bringing in people like Mike Murdoch and Mark Gorman and these different pimp-style preachers, where they were taking up offerings and they were promising people $58 blessings. And I had a friend of mine one time call me from that church, and she said, "Oh, Susan, Mike Murdoch was here, and, you know, my daughter just got married." And she said, "You know, about a year ago, I gave Mike Murdoch $58, and I wrote on the check, he said that we should write on the check what we were believing God for. So I wrote on the check that I was believing God to give my daughter a husband. And, you know, now she's got her husband." I was like, "Oh, brother, you know, give me a break." Because there was another, actually the pastor's sister, her husband that she married, who she later divorced, but she bought him for $58 from Mike Murdoch. And he caused her nothing but grief. you get what you pay for, you know. I mean, if you're going to buy a husband for $58, well, you're going to get what you pay for. But come on, how ridiculous. How ridiculous is that, that any grown person that's been born again and has a Bible, and just think about it, you're going to church, and along comes Mike Murdoch, and you're totally mesmerized because it's some kind of a hypnotic spirit he has. And then not only that, the pastor, who's supposed to be watching over you in a sense, you know, he allows these kind of people to come in because they bring in big money to the church. And then he actually allows someone like Mike Murdoch to tell you that for $58 you can actually buy a husband or a wife. Oh, dear. Now, really, honestly, what rational, grown person in their right mind is going to fall for that? So, really, that's how insane it's become at what some people consider church services. They consider it Christianity, but it looks more like an insane asylum where grown people are running up to the front and giving people like Mike Murdoch $58 to buy husbands, to get debt cancellation, to get financial miracles. And it's like, what in the world is going on here? When you really start coming out of all of that, even if you have to separate yourself from everybody, if you're in a church like that, and I use the term loosely because it's not really a church, if you're in a place like that, you need to get out of there and stay away from there and stay away from your friends for a while until you've had a chance to wash out your mind with the washing of the water of the Word. And after you get out of those situations, even for a few weeks, and you start reading your Bible and finding out what thus saith the Lord, then you'll go back and you'll look at some of the things you did. And, it could make you cry when you think, and I've been there, I've been in some of those situations, so I know what I'm talking about. But now when I look at it, and I see how many people are ensnared in this kind of a thing, it is really frightening in a sense that these people some of them have really known the Lord at one time, and then they've turned themselves over to a reprobate mind because they became greedy and money was more important than people. It was more important than ministry. And they realize, a lot of these pastors and teachers realize that you won't take the time to read the Bible for yourself, which you should do, because all the answers are there. You will never be misled. You will never be deceived if you follow God's word. So I don't care what any so-called great one has to say or what some famous preacher has to say. If it isn't thus saith the Lord, then it's wrong. And it's going to get you into trouble. So if you have any questions or you're in one of these insane asylums that they call a church, well, I would get out of there. I'd run for my life because it's time for a reformation. It's time for a revolution, and where people say enough is enough already, and stop taking the gospel and perverting it and using it like God is some kind of a wheel of fortune, or it's like the slot machine. You go in church and it's like you press the slot machine, you put $20 on 21 or whatever, and then God Almighty himself, they want you to believe that God Almighty himself is then obligated to produce for you. Well, it's not true. It's just not true. And if you really look at it, and most people in church are in debt up to their eyeballs anyway, and with all the tithing and the giving and all the seed sowing that they've done, they're still in debt. And they'll probably be in debt till the day they die, unless they learn how to live within their means and give out of a heart of love and stop believing these false teachers. So we want to say thank you, Jesus, that you've put people in the body of Christ that really do care about people. There's so many wonderful ministries on the internet. You can go to Blog Talk Radio and you'll see so many good programs that you can listen to. You can go to YouTube, and you can see so many wonderful ministries there, too, where you can hear the pure, unadulterated Word of God, and nobody's asking you to sow seeds and give up your house. I knew a brother back in London a few years back, and he started following Morris Cirillo. Well, he had a wife and three children, and he owned a house. And he decided that he was going to give his house to Morris Cirillo. Well, he did. He gave his house to Morris Cirillo, and he wound up living in, for a long time, his wife and himself and his three children were living in a one-bedroom room, in one room, which in England they called it a bedsit. So it was terrible, but do you think that Morris Cirillo felt sorry for him and said, well, you know what, I think, you know, I should give you your house back because you need it more than I do, you and your children. You know, I'm sure God saw his heart, but any real man or woman of God is not going to let you give them your house and then your children are homeless? No, I don't think so. I mean, that doesn't sound like God. Any real man or woman of God is not going to let you clean out your bank account and give away your house to their ministry so God can bless you. No, they're not going to do that. I saw that when I worked at a Bible college many years ago, and it was very, very alarming because so many of these young people were coming to Bible school to learn the Bible, and the people that were in charge of the Bible school would bring in these preachers that would talk these students into giving away all their money. And a lot of them did. A lot of them emptied out their savings accounts, gave away their homes, their cars, and then they wound up with nothing. And it was terrible. It was really terrible. I felt so bad for some of these people because I guess, you know, they had maybe in their heart, they had the motive where, yeah, well, we have to give money to ministries so God can bless us. But what I'm saying is no ministry that is a real ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to let you give absolutely everything you have away to them and leave you with nothing. I mean, nobody's going to do that really knows God. That's not the way God does things. Anybody that's a real minister and has a heart for people is not going to take everything you have away from you. That kind of thing has to stop. I mean, even in my life where I've had people that have wanted to give me things and I just wouldn't take it. I just wouldn't take it because it's not worth it. It's not worth taking something from somebody. You know, they want you to think that, oh, well, if they want to give it to you, then they, you know, let them give it to you because they're going to be blessed. Well, not if it's going to leave their family homeless and empty out their bank account and they're not going to be able to pay their electric bill or their heating bill because they're giving the money to you. No, that's wrong. So I want to thank my brother that's been here in the chat room today. And I'm sorry that my guest was not on, Kevin Oliver, but we will have him on in the future. And I'm sure something came up where he couldn't be with us today. But I just want to let you know that there is a God that loves you. If you look outside today and look at the sun and look at the trees and the birds and look at your children and your pets and know that God Almighty is the creator of the universe and he made all things good. He made everything that you're looking at. He did it. God. He made you. He knows all about you. He knows about your suffering. He knows about your trials and your tribulations. And he is the only one that can rescue you. There is a God. There is a Lord Jesus Christ who came. He walked the earth. Most people really do know that, that Jesus was really here. He lived in Israel. He died on a cross. He rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven. And he's sitting at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for you and me. So besides everything else that's going on, if you need help today, you can cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ. You can ask him to come into your life. You can ask him to save you. There is salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. He did promise you salvation, which is salvation from your sins, and we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us that have lived on the earth, no, it's just not mistakes, it's sins. We've all sinned, and we know that. And we can be forgiven no matter what you've done in your life. You can ask God to help you. You can ask Jesus to come into your life and change your life, and he will. It's that simple. It is not complicated. You don't have to wonder why there's wars in the world or why there's famines. You know, so many times when you're trying to witness to someone, you know, they always come up with these same things like, well, why is there this and why is there that? I don't know the answers to everything because I'm not God. I don't have his mind. But all I do know, and I do know this, there is a God. I do know that the Lord Jesus Christ saved me. Yes, he gave me a new life. I know that's true. I know it's true. And anybody that has experienced salvation and freedom, that has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord, they know it's true too. So you can have that same experience today. It's a free gift. It's a free gift. And I invite you today to get down on your knees and ask God, cry out to God today and ask him to help you. He's the only one that can deliver you from that foreclosure, from that sickness, from that divorce, from that drug addiction, from that suicide, from that alcoholism. He is the total rehab program, is the Lord Jesus Christ. So I want to thank you all for listening today. And please tune in again next week to Prophetic News on Blog Talk Radio. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. Someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.